today on Real Radio.
Every one of us, we are different backgrounds, we are different, whatever we are, being a follower of Jesus is not lockstep conformity. No, he takes the diversity of us and he unites us.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter with a message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. Now, the Apostle Peter, of course, was a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. His message of encouragement, hope, and practical Christian living transcends throughout the ages. He is the greatest example of how to live a godly life, a holy life, have godly influence, and submit to human authority at the same time. As we head on into verses 8 through 12 of chapter 3, we'll see Peter switch the topic just a bit as he goes from what a Christian marriage looks like to what a relationship with our Christian brothers and sisters looks like. Hopefully, as fellow believers, we're all going in the same direction, that of course the direction that Jesus is going, and we need to keep up because he is the one that's on the move. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that who we are and how we live really does matter. We're all different, but God takes our diversity and our various passions and unites us with those. It's God's word and standards that we all have in common, and it's our hope in the Lord that delivers us from all of our fears. And now in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So I'm obeying the law, and I'm sitting there. And then you know what? I look in the mirror. And I see people. They're supposed to be going west. And they're like this. And they're going. And they try to get in front of you. Right? So I'm thinking, you know, I have been waiting here a long time. So I just got like right up in the bumper of the person in front of me. So this person is just kind of like, right? And they're making me think that they can't see me, which is impossible. It's impossible. You're trying to get into my space. You see me. But I have determined I am not going to let them in because it's a free country. And so it's, and then now what do? I'm thinking, okay, now I can tell they're looking at me. I'm looking away. Because if I can't see them. So this is going on. I know that's never happened in your life, but it's going on like this. And this is a big deal. It's like, wow, this is high stakes, man. This is. And then I just, inside the Holy Spirit, now I didn't hear, you understand, he doesn't say, Jack, this is the Holy Spirit. You don't hear the voice. God speaks to you with his syntax, his word, his logic, logos, but he uses your voice. But you know it's not you because you don't think like that. That's how you know it's him. It's like, well, where did that come from? So it was this, really? Really what? Lord, I pay my taxes. This is my road. Really, this is something that you're gonna just make a statement here on this. And it's like, oh, you know, and then the killer is this. And I encourage all of you to do this. I have the sticker of the cross on the back of my truck. And it's like, the Lord just, Jack, there's a cross on the back of your window. Okay, Lord. So you let him in, right? Let him in. I was not tenderhearted. That's not tenderheart. Tenderhearted is, I know, you never get home, but you've been tenderhearted. And you know, there's that momentary battle with the creator of the universe for a second, and then you lose that battle. You lose it. You willingly lose it. And it's a good thing. You have to make that decision to be tenderhearted. We have to be careful, church, Christians, in this age. Lawlessness is abounding. Our natural response as a Christian is to get callous. We have to be careful. We have to be legal, but we have to be careful we don't get callous. It's very difficult. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 13, the Bible tells us that regarding this tenderheartedness, that in James chapter 1, God has engineered trials to soften up our hearts and our lives. How in the world, if you and I do not suffer, how will you and I comfort those who are suffering? You see? Nothing's lost. God is so, so very good. Then look at the word courteous. The word courteous is the word to determine to be humble of mind, that you and I are to take that approach. It means to be humble in attitude. It means to exalt others beyond the estimation of yourself. Again, all these wonderful things, compassion, love, tenderheartedness, courteousness, you guys, these are all divine things. We cannot do this. This is supernatural influence upon our lives. There's no doubt about it. And then the third and final argument under this regarding a power walk with Jesus and going in the same direction is another Greek word, and you really can't separate them out, so we'll have to end here. It's the word ethos. It's with the same ethos. And the word ethos in the original language is your lifestyle, your decision-making, how you live, who you are. Ethos. Maybe you've seen, I don't know if you're aware, but you know, Starbucks has got that basket, and it has that ethos water. I wonder if they even know what that means. Ethos, it's your lifestyle, the life that you live. So according to the Bible, you and I, if the Holy Spirit has control of your life as a Christian, you're a real believer, then there's certain things, watch, that are undeniable. You and I have our opinions. Listen, God's Spirit brings us together in unity, but he doesn't do it by conformity. In other words, he doesn't make every one of us the same. We're different people. You know that. And this is the joy of God. I'm sure he gets a big kick out of it. But every one of us, we are different backgrounds. We are different. Whatever we are, being a follower of Jesus is not lockstep conformity. No, he takes the diversity of us and he unites us. He does it through the Word. And then that affects our passions, what we live for. And that determines our lifestyle, the ethos. And look what he says. He says in verse 9, not returning evil for evil. Evil for evil. Christians do not, when somebody does something evil to them, Christians do not do evil back. We don't return. The Holy Spirit won't let us do it. Well, you know what he said to me? Oh, just wait. You know what? I'm going to go say this to him. That's not God. He says, reviling for reviling. Jesus was attacked, mocked, beaten, misrepresented. He never said a word. This is the work of God. I don't think this is humanly possible. God has to have a hold of us. By the way, when he does get a hold of us and these things happen, guess what happens according to church history? Our opponents, our persecutors get saved. They see God's power so powerful in your life that they can't cope with it. They're stunned by that level of witness. And he says, but on the contrary, blessing. Blessing, knowing that you are called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. What does this mean? It means that it's God's work. It's a divinely sourced standard. The pathos is the enthusiasm. The logos is the word. This word here, the ethos, is a standard that the true follower of Jesus has an ethical standard that is employed by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, 5, the Bible tells us there, listen up, this is tough. Everybody listen, we're almost done. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Translation, Search yourself through and through in front of the Bible, and you personally decide if you're truly a believer. He says, test yourselves. We'll explain that in a moment. Do you not know yourselves that Christ Jesus or Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. This is a strong word. Paul the Apostle is writing to the Greeks at Corinth, and he's saying to them, how do you know you're a Christian? Imagine if Paul the Apostle parachuted into the sanctuary this morning and just said, I have one question for you guys. How do you know that you're a believer, a real believer, a real follower in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know why? Listen, do you know why he asked the Corinthians? Because he could. Do you know why he would ask us? Because he could. You know why he could? Because every believer has the answer. Paul's not asking a question that cannot be answered. He's asking a question that must be answered. The word examine, it's the Greek word to prove it. Prove it. So Paul is saying, prove to me you're a believer. How would you do that? Just don't answer publicly. How would you do that? The Bible says you have to. Each and every one of us. Only you know your private life. Only you know your secret life. Who are you when no one's around? Paul says, that's the person. Examine yourself. Watch. Second, he says, test. Test yourselves. Two different words. Examine. Prove it. It means to show the evidence of authenticity. So let me ask you, and you can ask me, what evidence, Jack, is there in your life that you're a true believer in Jesus? That's the question you ask you. It's the question I ask me. I'm commanded to do this in the Bible. And the word test is to confirm it. So you say it. So Paul would say to us, prove to me that you are a believer. And you would respond. And then the next thing is the word, pour acid on it. It paints the picture of you and I, you know, if we were back in the 49ers in 1849 in California, was just the earth was spitting up gold in California. If you found some gold, and let's say you and I found some gold, both of us were mining away, or in the river, you get a nugget. You got a nugget, I got a nugget. Looks awesome. Both nuggets look fantastic. Oh my gosh, we're gonna be rich. And we run over to the assayer's office. The assayer. You give him the gold right in front of you, and he pulls out acid, and he pours acid on the two pieces of gold. One completely dissolves. They looked exactly the same. One completely dissolves. The other one gets even shinier. Have you ever heard of fool's gold? Fool's gold deceived a lot of people. There's Christians that are like fool's gold. And Paul says, you need to have acid poured on that. What is that acid? Listen, comes right back to where we started. It's this. The word. Putting the word up against my thoughts. Here's my thought life. What does the word say? Here's my actions. Here's the words I use. What's my attitude when the day's gone tough? Am I prone to excusing my way out of it? Or am I owning my sin for the day and going to Christ and saying, God, forgive me, I did not represent you today. That terrible, stupid thing on the freeway was ridiculous of me, God. Angels were watching and just scratching their heads. What a dope. The guy's going to heaven and he can't even handle the freeway. You know? Lord, forgive me. It's not right. And God, please, are you with me? Do you understand what I'm saying? You got to take the word and apply it to your life privately. No one can do this for you. And if you're here today saying, I don't want to do it, then you're not his. I don't want to do that. You are never God's. You don't belong to him. If you're getting a little bit of a sting, ouch, praise the Lord. Only people who are alive can hurt. And if you hear that being said and you go, yep, that's right. Yep. You're a believer in him and it matters. He says, on the contrary, now we should be a blessing to people. We're to bless them. You say, I don't want to bless people who are mean to me. I know. I understand that. Can you guys all stand? I want to read you this huge verse, but stand because we're done. Go ahead and stand. We're going to look at Romans 12, verse 5. We're going to go out with this. Romans 12, 5. The Bible says that we're to be a blessing to people. The invitation to be a blessing to others implies, you know, listen, it implies that they're not a blessing to us. You know anybody like that in your life? You're going to go to work tomorrow? Like, oh man, really? That guy, that woman, that person, that office, that thing. That's what I'm talking about. Or what about, well, I come to second service because the person I don't like goes to first service. So whoever our problem is in our life, we're supposed to target them. You know, the word actually means that you'd set your sights on them. You're like a sniper. You'd dial your scope in onto the person that drives you nuts. Is somebody, listen, is it a, are you dealing with a ex-wife or an ex-husband? What about things like that where it's just like, there's this angst, it just sets your jaw. You know, listen, God has given you a way to be free from that. You know what it is? It's called blessing your enemies. You say, I'm not going to do that. Then you know what? You're going to live a miserable life. You're not getting it. You want to be set free? Love your enemy. How do I do that when I can't stand them? God didn't say be friends with your enemy. He said love them. Do something for them that blesses their life. Are they sick? Something happened? Is it their birthday and you're just rubbing it in because I'm not going to give that guy a donut. Let everybody else get him a donut. I'm not pitching into the donut. Listen, go buy him a case of Krispy Kreme. Seriously. And when you say, hey, dude, I heard it's your birthday. Merry birthday to you. And he's going to, what are you doing? What, is this stuff poison? What are you, is it a bomb in there? So, man, it's your birthday. Thought you hate me. Dude, hate's a big deal. That's a big word, man. Listen, I'm a Christian. Haven't always been a Christian to you, but I'm telling you right now, last Sunday's sermon's kicking me in the teeth right now. Here's your donuts. Enjoy them. So watch Romans 12. So we, that's us, being many, look at all of you, are one body in Christ. And individually members of one another. That means none of us are allowed to just walk on out of here on your own. You're like ripping a nail right out of our fingers if you do that. If we're really in the body, you can't go be rogue on us. Well, I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going to go backslide. You can't do that. You can't do that without hurting us. So knock it off. You can't do that. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, that is proclaiming the truth, then proclaim it in proportion to your faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching. This is what God's called you to do. Everyone has something in the body of Christ that they're to contribute to. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without wax. That's what the word means. Hypocrisy. Let love be real, not fake, that it melts in the sun. Abhor. Wow, that word means hate. Hate with all vitality what is evil. The Bible commands you to hate evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Isn't that beautiful? Remember Chip and Dale, the little squirrels? Or whatever they are. After you. No, after you. Oh, no, you go first. You can have the nut. No, you can have the nut. You know this too? That's how we're supposed to be. You can have, you can, go, you can have the parking spot. No, you can have it. Okay, you can go first, you can go out. You can come in my lane, even though I've been here for hours. You can pull in. And honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Wow. Patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in the prayer. In prayer, listen, distributing to the needs of the saints. Nobody in here who is hurting needs to hurt any longer. This body is to love on you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless those. Do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it is depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire. That's a blessing, that's not a curse. Coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to shut things down? Exercise good. God will honor that. Somebody attacking you? Bless them back. Evil rises up? Overcome it with good. This is Christianity. The world knows no power like this. The world can't do anything to that. This is more powerful than a nuclear bomb. That's a fact. You can't stop that. Father, we thank you for your awesome truth. As a people, we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're humbled to say that because we feel and view ourselves as so unworthy of your name. But Father, we ask, Lord, now, in your goodness and kindness, Jesus, you would galvanize us to the task that's before each and every one of us today. So Father, we just rejoice in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead, assuring us eternal life for all those who trust in you. So thank you, Father God. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in his message called Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. And you know, our prayer is that you reach out to others and show the same love that Jesus has shown in your life. Power Walk with Jesus, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through some great persecution, and whose compassion for others still inspires us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, one thing we've learned through Peter's writings is how much God really loves us, and how much he wants to have a close personal relationship with all of us who've made him the Lord of our lives. That's why it's so important to start the day with prayer and a verse from Scripture. It's also why Pastor Jack has devotions right there at his website that you can tap into. Simply go to jackhibbs.com and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find a specific verse from the Bible and a personal story from Pastor Jack that relates to that verse. There's a new one each week, along with previous devotions for daily inspiration. Again, you'll find devotions on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or right there on our Real Life mobile app for on-the-go access anytime, anywhere. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.